Just to make you aware of the gospel text for today, it is Luke chapter 8, but we'll be going all the way back to starting at verse 4 through 15, and that's been corrected on the screen. So if you'd like to follow in your Bibles, though, Luke 8, starting in verse 4, reading in Jesus' name. Please stand for the reading of God's word. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. William Jennings Bryan was an influential American politician in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He served as a congressman from Nebraska for 4 years. He ran for president on 3 separate occasions, losing every time. And he served for 2 years as President Woodrow Wilson's Secretary of State. He was also a devout Christian and unashamed of letting his light shine, even throughout his political career. In 1904, Bryan gave a lecture called "The Prince of Peace." And at one point in the speech, he spoke of an encounter he had with a watermelon. Here's what he said: "As I was eating a piece of watermelon some months ago, I was struck with its beauty. I took some of the seeds and dried them and weighed them, and found that it would require some 5,000 seeds to weigh a pound. And then I applied mathematics to that 40-pound melon. One of these seeds put into the ground, when warmed by the sun and moistened by the rain, takes off its coat and goes to work. It gathers from somewhere 200,000 times its own weight, and forcing its raw material through a tiny stem constructs a watermelon. It ornaments the outside with a covering of green. Inside the green, it puts on a layer of white, and within the white, a core of red. And all through the red, it scatters seeds, each one capable of continuing the work of reproduction. Where does that little seed get its tremendous power? Where does it find its coloring matter? Where does it collect a flavoring extract? How does it build a watermelon?" And Bryan concluded with this: "Until you can explain a watermelon, do not be too sure that you can set limits to the power of the Almighty and say just what he would do or how he would do it. I cannot explain the watermelon, but I eat it and enjoy it." In the sermon text for today, Jesus tells a parable comparing the word of God to a seed that is implanted into the human heart, and like the watermelon, produces some amazing results. As we heard this morning from Isaiah 55:10, God's word does not return to him empty, but it shall accomplish that which God purposes. Jesus is in the early stages of his earthly ministry here in Luke. He's been traveling throughout Galilee, teaching the kingdom of God and healing many different people of many different illnesses. And he's gathered quite a following, not just the 12 apostles that we might know of, but really countless other disciples and other followers are just hoarding around him. And so he tells this parable in order to help define who his true followers are. We see in verse 10 that Jesus' primary reason for using parables is really to separate the true followers from the casual, non-committal followers. A true follower is one who receives the words of Jesus. In the parable, Jesus tells of a farmer who throws seeds, like Mike explained to the kids, on four very different types of soils. And each soil reacts differently to the seed planted therein. Here we have a unique and wonderful instance in the teaching ministry of Jesus. This is one of the very few times in which Jesus tells a parable and then explains its fuller meaning. Now, I'm sure most of you have heard this parable before. It's recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, those being Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're here in Luke. And it's pretty easy to understand, especially if you live in a farming community like we do, right? Or if you know anything about gardening. And Jesus' own explanation of the parable seems straightforward enough. The seed represents God's word. And it appears that 3/4 of people who hear the word of God reject it in various ways, while only 1/4 receive it and bear fruit. Now, this may be true, but Jesus is telling the parable not because he's concerned with numbers and percentages. He is concerned about the salvation of all people, his hearers, and the entire world. This parable, then, is a warning. You see, as natural human beings, there are really only 3 soils. All human beings, including you and me, can represent one of the 3 bad soils. Now, you're probably thinking, Pastor, wait a minute. What about the 4th? Don't we as Christians represent the good soil? Good question. Hear me out. All human beings are prone to reject God's word in various ways. This includes each and every one of us. Not just atheists or not just sinners who don't give a care. If you look closely at Jesus' description of these first 3 soils, you'll see that no one is immune. We can represent one of the bad soils, all of us. And we're all perfectly capable of rejecting God's word. The first soil, or type of people Jesus describes, is the path, those along the path. He explains that the seed of God's word falls upon the path, meaning that these people indeed hear the word, but it doesn't go very far. In the parable, it was trampled underfoot and the birds of the air devoured it. In his explanation, Jesus says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. These people may darken the door of a church, or they may hear the word of God proclaimed in any other situation, but they, like the hard path, have already made up their minds about the word of God, about God himself, about Christianity. And they harden their hearts so that even though they hear the word, it's unable to penetrate into their hearts. And faith and salvation don't come to them. And then we see in Jesus' explanation that the devil too plays a part in this. The devil loves a hard heart. It makes his job extremely easy. You see, the devil has one objective in this world. He already knows he's defeated. That point is plainly clear. Through what Jesus did on the cross, the devil was defeated, and he knows where his fate lies. But in the meantime, he wants to take as many of us with him as he can. And the easiest soil for him to attack is those on the path, hardened by the foot traffic of life, so that the seed of the word just lies on the surface. It may be heard, it may be great head knowledge to them, but it is incapable of giving the person faith by going into their very soul. And since it is just lying on the surface, the devil, represented by the birds in the parable, can easily come and just devour the word from their hearts, preventing them from having salvation, from being saved. As it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And the devil loves those on the path, those with calloused hearts, those who have already made up their mind about God, who refuse to receive his word. The second type of people in the parable are those on the rocky soil. These are the ones we might call mountaintop Christians. They go to a church service or maybe a camp or a conference or pretty much any event where the word of God is proclaimed. They have an awesome time, a mountaintop experience where they see Jesus like never before, or maybe for the first time. And they come to faith and give their lives to Jesus. Great. But like the seed that falls on the rocky soil, although it grows up quickly, although faith is proclaimed very quickly, it just as quickly withers away. They do indeed have faith, but it is shallow. Fleeting faith, kind of like all of these fads we see that are here today and gone tomorrow. As Jesus says, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. Nothing wrong there, right? But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. The mountaintop event comes to an end. They come down from the experience, still on fire for Jesus, to be sure. But soon the excitement fizzles out, and real life catches up with them. Real life and all its struggles and trials. The shallow faith cannot handle what life throws at it. And the end result is the same as with the first soil. Loss of faith, loss of salvation. C.S. Lewis illustrates this beautifully in his fictional work, The Screwtape Letters, in which the senior devil, Screwtape, instructs his nephew and apprentice devil, Wormwood, on how to tempt the man assigned to him. Early on in the book, Wormwood's patient, as he's called, becomes a Christian, much to the dismay of his uncle. But Screwtape reassures the young devil. He says, there's no need to despair. Hundreds of these adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn in the enemy's camp and are now with us. Screwtape then goes on to tell Wormwood to exploit the quirks of the man's fellow Christians in order to get him to fall away from the faith. He says, you want to lean pretty heavily on those neighbors. Make his mind flit to and fro between an expression like the body of Christ and the actual faces in the next pew. It matters very little, of course, what kind of people that the next pew really contains. You may know one of them to be a great warrior on the enemy's, God's side. No matter. Your patient, thanks to our father below, the devil, is a fool. Provided that any of those neighbors sing out of tune or have boots that squeak or double chins or odd clothes, The patient will quite easily believe that their religion must therefore be something ridiculous. Keep everything hazy in his mind, and you will have all eternity wherein to amuse yourself by producing in him the peculiar kind of clarity which hell affords. Our common enemies as Christians, the world, our own human flesh, and the devil himself, they all love to keep things hazy for us. And they love it when we remain shallow in our faith. Ooh, they love it. So that we, like the seed that fell in the rocky soil, we might be excited for a while, but our faith soon withers away just like that. And now the third type of soil in the parable is the thorny soil. This is where it should hit close to home for most of us here in this church. You see, here Jesus is not describing the hardened atheists or the shallow Christians. He is describing those who do have a deep-rooted faith in Jesus Christ, those who may have been Christians their whole lives, those who have served the church well, but the old Adam, the old sinful nature, comes back up to the surface and draws their attention away from Christ and towards earthly pleasures, toward money, and towards the worries of life. And they get choked out, and their fruit does not mature. Yes, indeed, Jesus is speaking to all of us when he describes this third soil. Maybe you can't relate to the first two types of soil, but perhaps you can relate to the third soil. Do you ever struggle with the pleasures of life? Are you a hedonist, which is just someone who seeks pleasure as the ultimate goal in life? Are you ever tempted to want more money or wealth? Do you desire the things of the world? No one is immune from being choked out by what the world throws at it. And what about anxiety or worry? Worldly pleasures and wealth may indeed have no effect on you. And praise the Lord if that's the case. But what about worry? What about anxiety? We all have things that we could be worried about, right? Many people waste away their days worrying about things that are beyond their control most of the time. And as with money and the pleasures of life, even the strongest of Christians can be choked by worry and anxiety and lose their faith as well. It doesn't matter who you are. We are all perfectly capable, all of us, of rejecting God's word. But don't lose heart, my friends. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Although we are all prone to reject God's word in various ways, and though we all may represent one of the three soils, God can still work through the bad soils. Remember this, your salvation does not depend on how good or bad your soils are. Paul says in Romans 5:8 that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We might say it this way, while we were still soiled, Christ died for us. We were all bad soil, either hard or shallow or worldly, but God chose to save us anyway, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And like a good farmer, God doesn't just plant his seed in us and then leave us to our own devices. No, he tills us, he nurtures us, he fertilizes us, he prunes us so that we do indeed become like the good soil, as described at the end of the parable. This is something God does in us on a daily basis. He gives us his word. He breaks through whatever barriers we may set up in our sinful nature. and he leads us to repentance and brings us to faith in the finished work of Christ. And then he enables us to bear fruit, the fruit of faith, as Jesus says, with patience. This is something that God does for us day by day as he implants his word deep within us and tills us in the faith. God can still work through the bad soils. In fact, that's what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. We were indeed soiled, but God saved us through Christ. Let us therefore bear good fruit as God continues to till and nurture us through the seed of his word. As James 1:21 says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let that be our prayer and call as we prepare ourselves for communion. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that although we are all bad soils, you have saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we receive him anew this day. And Lord, prepare our hearts to receive communion, that although we may struggle in our lives, you still forgive us by giving us your word and leading us in repentance, that we might believe in you. Lord, help us to believe and help our unbelief. And Lord, help us to bear this fruit that Jesus talks about, the fruit of good works, the fruit of loving one another, only by your strength. But Lord, give us your strength. In Jesus' name we pray.